I'm just going to read a few of the lines here, and then we'll get into our message from God's Word today. All persons meeting the qualifications of Article 1, Section 1, which basically says you must be a believer in Jesus Christ, and then you must agree to baptism, which is a full immersion baptism in this church. And this is available to everybody. I suggest that everybody get a copy of this at one time or another and just look through it to see how our church believes and how we do our business. It also has a copy of that church covenant in the back of it. So if you've been wondering what that thing says, you don't have to read it during the service while I'm preaching. I can get you a hard copy to take home with you, okay? Or if you want to stay after and read over that, that is the full church covenant there, which is agreement we make with one another. But anyway, after being received into membership upon a majority vote of all the active members of the church present in voting, the duties of the members to themselves are, as you notice, the duty is actually to yourself on this. There's a duty that we recognize as a member of the body of Christ and a member of the local church. This is kind of what you would want to concentrate on. Number one, or A, the acquisition of spiritual knowledge, constant progress in spirituality, the control and eradication of every unholy temperament. Those all sound like good things, don't it? So we want to destroy sin in our life while we're seeking God in His Word and acquiring more spiritual knowledge, okay? That's something that we do during the week, even when we're not in the building, right? Okay? So like, you eat more than once a week, right? Physically? Then this is saying that we want you to be eating spiritually more than once a week as well, spiritually. Okay, now, before I go into this next one, I got to let you know I didn't write this, okay? Otherwise, you might think it's self-serving. B, this is your next, as a member of the church, your next responsibility, and especially to yourself. It is the duty of members to honor, esteem, and love the pastor, to pray for him fervently and daily. I get a whole bunch of people just getting ready to stand up and walk out right now, right? Deal's off. You didn't tell me that before I became a member. No. Guys, I mean, honestly, it's like I said last time I preached, if you want a better pastor, the best thing to do is pray for me. And that's what's going to help me be a better pastor. I'm still learning. I'm still getting better at stuff too, just like we're all growing. We're just growing at the same time, kind of along the same path. C, it is the duty of each member to cultivate and cherish brotherly love for all other members of the church. Notice it said all other members. Okay, one of my closest friends in the Lord in the last church I was in was probably one that was most abrasive to me at first. You know, at first, whenever God kept putting us together, I'm going, are you sure about this? And He said, work on it. As you know, iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. And so there's going to be some sparks every now and then. But it's our responsibility to try to continue to cultivate and cherish brotherly love with each one, and to show this love by using all proper measure to promote their spiritual benefit and prosperity. D, toward those who are not connected with the church, it is the duty of members to be exact in fulfilling obligations and performing promises, to follow the spiritual admonition to love our neighbors, and as opportunity and ability may enable, to commend the gospel of Christ unto them, to be faithful in all the duties, E, to be faithful in all the duties essential to the Christian life, and to attend habitually the services of this church, to give scripturally for its support and its causes, and to share in its organized work. It's all good stuff, right? F, it is the duty of all members within a reasonable time after removing from the vicinity of this church to seek out and unite with a church of like faith and order. Praise God. Now the rest of this goes through some other sections about how those who are 18 or older that are good members of good standing in the church have a vote at our business meetings and things that happen. And it also talks about dismissal of members as well. That if a member is living in unholy conduct that's, you know, they're not repentant of, that sometimes, unfortunately, members do have to be removed from membership, which is biblical. Paul says that with a man who is sinning in his house in a very outward way and would not repent, that he must be given over to Satan for a while, that he learn not to blaspheme God. So it's not just about the cleanliness of the church, because, hey, we're all sinners, right? We're not, You know, if the church, if you had to be perfect to come to church, none of us would be able to be here. I wouldn't be able to be here. None of us would. That's not what it's about. It's about putting them in a place where they can learn, okay? Because there's an umbrella of protection that comes from being in church. And then in our Constitution as well, we have a place in there that if you haven't been here for so many weeks, I think it's like 6 weeks, continuous, and you haven't contacted anybody, and you don't respond to our contact, then you're put on an inactive member list. And that means we haven't forgotten about you, we're still praying for you, we still love you, we still want you to come back and be reinstated, but it does revoke some of the privileges of being a member, like voting. And that way, there aren't people who are not really involved trying to tell everybody and use their authority to try to make the church go in a direction that may not be the best for the church. So anyway, these are all some things that you can check out in here about church membership. There's more there as well. But I wanted to read those to you because I think that they're important duties that we need to understand, right? These are our responsibilities to one another and to God and to ourselves. So, in other words, we're really trying to build something here. Okay, we just celebrated the fact that we got the building paid off. We built this building, right? We had certain parts of it that were contracted, but then it came time and we did all the rest. And how did we do that? We did that by cooperating together. Okay, some of the best memories I have of being here, and which, by the way, this is the 1st of October, isn't it? October marks my 9th year anniversary at this church. I've been here for 9 years now, so I praise God for that officially. I just happen to remember that as I'm talking. It's just an awesome opportunity to think of what God's done. Some of the brightest days all during that 9 years is when we were building the church and meeting together every Saturday and doing the work. It was awesome, you know. The camaraderie that we had, the fellowship that we kept, the things we looked forward to, and we couldn't wait to get into the church. And Brother J.D. had made a prediction that we would be in it by Christmas. J.D., did we make it?
A week before.
All right. A week before we made it. Amen. I'm not going to say who did, but there were some naysayers on that, but we wound up being right. We got a little help, too. There was a crew came and helped us out. I'm pretty sure they were angels from Potosi Southern. They put up part of our ceiling and then took a little bit of weight off of us and got us ahead of schedule to where we made our deadline. But just all exciting stuff. And I'll tell you what made it so sweet is that we were cooperating together for the gospel's sake. But what I can tell you is, and I knew it then, and I think a lot of you guys were keenly aware of this as well, this wasn't the end goal. This is just a building that's here for us to reach out from. The end goal is building the holy house, that one that's not made with hands, that one that we are used as instruments of to bring people in, and they're being built into like a spiritual wall. We're going to look a little bit about this today. We're going to be wall builders. All right. Let's say praise the Lord on this one. We're wall builders. That means we've all got a job to do in this. So let's take the first look here. Did I get that? All right. She's probably confused because I always put a title on all my sermons, and this one I didn't. Because I just wanted to start in the Scripture, and I want to end in the Scripture. Let's look here. Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is whenever they had the healing there, and this is the message that they give at the end of that, the healing in front of the temple. And so Peter and John are proclaiming this message. If we look at verse 11, this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, Jesus. Okay? That's the stone, Jesus, which has become the chief cornerstone. Now we got some builders in our group. What's a cornerstone? You might know what a cornerstone is. It's a foundation stone. Steve? Be supported on that cornerstone. It's actually the most important piece of any structure. Okay? Like, your house that you live in, if it's built on a foundation, you would not build that of a foundation of Play-Doh, right? Because, you know, once Play-Doh gets wet, it's not sturdy. It's not long-lasting. And so the same with this building. The thing we've always got to remember about this building, Jesus is the cornerstone. We've got to make sure Jesus is the cornerstone. And I'll tell you what, whenever you study on building with the stones for, you know, I'm a carpenter, and so I know that your foundation is the most important part. Whenever you build a deck, you start out most of the time with laying out the piers and getting them in the right place. And you do. You start on the lowest part, and you kind of work your way out from there, and you make sure. But when you set that cornerstone, that's the beginning of that structure. Jesus is the beginning of the structure. He goes on to say, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Okay? So Jesus, He is the cornerstone of this gospel presentation. He is the foundation that it's all built on. He is the one. And in 1 Peter, it talks about this as well. Peter goes on in one of his epistle letters, coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Is Jesus precious to you today? You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Continuing on, verses 6 through 10, therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on Him will by no means be put to shame. Do I get an amen to that? If you trust your life and you build your life on this cornerstone, you will not be put to shame. This cornerstone of Jesus Christ. And that is just the beginning, guys. Sometimes we think, well, I'm saved. It's the end. No. If you're saved, it's just the beginning. The cornerstone is laid. He still has so much for us to do until He calls us back to be with Him. He goes on in verse 8 to say, not everybody's going to be happy about this, so let's move on. Next slide. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you, guys, you, this is to us. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. Are you hearing this? There's something special about the church. It's precious because we're after that cornerstone. We're set on top of that cornerstone. We're being built into a building. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Do I get a praise the Lord on that? Guys, I want you to understand something. This is a holy building that's being built here. And each one of you are like a stone in that. Just like that original cornerstone, Jesus being the first one of His likeness. Everyone coming after Him, every one of us are precious. We're all part of that wall. But guys, He's still got a whole lot more stones that He wants to put in that wall. You see, that's us that are put there to help bring those other stones and put them in. So essentially, we're part of the wall, and we also become wall builders. And I think we need to learn some lessons from the wall builder. Nehemiah is the wall builder in the Old Testament. Hopefully, some of you were around whenever I preached through Nehemiah not too long ago. But it's such a good book, and just to look back at it is so important. And it's so interesting because those who came to the revival on that final night remember that Brother Harold preached from Nehemiah as well. And I woke up that morning. You know how God wakes you up early sometimes? Does God ever do that? He just wakes you up with a thought in your head and just directing you before it's even daylight in the morning. That's the way it was for me. And He had me in Nehemiah. He woke me up with the word wall builder. He said, you're a wall builder. Your church, Cadet Baptist Church, actually His, but the one that we're associated with is wall building church. And sometimes we may kind of get off track, or we may kind of forget, so we need to be reminded. We need to be encouraged, okay? So this, I want to be encouraged by Nehemiah today. So we're going to learn some lessons from this wall builder. Let's read. I'll have a few of them up on the screen, and then we're gonna do something kind of special today. We're going to enjoy this a little bit, okay? So Nehemiah 1, 4 through 6, so it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven, and I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, You who keep Your covenant and mercy with those who love You and observe Your commandments, Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, that which I pray before you today, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. Guys, first lesson we want to learn from this is we need to pray. We really need to pray. Nothing can happen before we pray. Whenever we realize things are a mess, the number one thing we need to do is pray and confess our sins before God. I don't care what your mess is either. Guys, I can tell you, none of us are perfect. And nowadays, it seems like it's such an offensive thing to people. You know, if a person's in a mess and somebody comes to them and just, you know, might even ask, you know, do you feel like you have any unconfessed sin in your life? And, well, how dare you? Are you saying this is because of sin? Guys, I'm just going to tell you, all the bad things on earth are because of general sin. That wasn't the way God originally intended things to be. Because sin entered the world, that we began to have sickness and death and all the destruction that we see today. And no, not everything in your life may be because of a specific sin of yours, but ultimately it's probably a good place to start and ask. Just ask God, show you. Is there anything in my life that I really need to confess before you, that I need to own up to, that I need to be sure of, that I have truly repented, because I want to be as close to God as possible? We need to get close to God. And the way we do it, 2 Chronicles 7:14, you couldn't have it any better than that. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, then I will forgive their sin, then I will heal their land. It's an if-then statement. So the first part is prayer, petition, humility, right? Got to humble ourselves, confess our own sin. You notice Nehemiah's confessing his own sin. He's not saying, look, God, they all did that. Now I'm paying the price for it. No, he said, we. In fact, he even gets more specific than that. I am my Father's house. We have offended you, and we need your forgiveness. Amen? Here we are today. So let's just stop and pray. God, I pray that if there's anything in my life, Lord, that I haven't recognized, and I'm sure there's plenty, so I'm just praying, Lord, that you'll bring it to my attention so that I won't continue to stumble over it anymore. And I won't continue to offend you with it anymore. Lord, I know I'm forgiven in Jesus Christ, but you say that we must repent. And so, Lord, bring it to my heart so I can know about it so that I can repent. And repentance literally means to turn away from. So help me to turn away from any sin in my life, Lord, I pray. And please forgive our land, Lord. We know not what we do. We keep offending you and stepping all over your holiness, even the church. God, help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And after we've prayed, Nehemiah shows us something else. Nehemiah 2, verses 11 and 12. So I came to Jerusalem, so he got the opportunity to go. He went before his king, and he got permission. And not only did he get permission, man, he got instruction, he got clearance, he got a letter, he got resources. You know, God just started opening the windows of heaven and giving him everything he was going to need to help rebuild these walls around Jerusalem, because it was a disgrace for them to be all torn down. So he comes to Jerusalem. Not only did he pray, he also gathered, and then he went. Okay? He had to personally go. And so I came to Jerusalem, was there 3 days, then I rose in the night, and I and a few men with me, I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one which I rode on. He went out at night with just a few guys, and he kept his mouth shut. He didn't tell any kind of plan until he went out and he checked things out and he assessed the situation. Guys, how many of us speak before we really know what's going on sometimes? Right? We speak even before we pray. You know, I'm in Christian leadership in our association and go to different meetings and stuff. And I'll be honest with you, if you call out and you say, man, we need a meeting for people to bring all their opinions, you won't be able to get a room big enough to put everybody in. But if you say, okay, guys, we're going to have a meeting just to pray. It's growing, but it's still kind of small. Okay? We do that at our pastors' conferences. And we have pastors' conferences first and third Mondays of every month. And it starts at 10:30 with the opinions, or with the preaching of God's Word as well. There's good stuff goes on. but it's more interactive. But for those who want to, can show up at 9 o'clock and we pray. And I'll just tell you, there's more power, there's more things happening in that 9 o'clock prayer service than there are at any other time during the day. So I praise God for that. But you see, we do that so that we can get in a good place with God, and then we need to reserve our opinions until we actually assess the situation for real. And that's what he does. He goes out himself and he takes a look at everything. And he has some guys who are close to him there. I think that's something else we need to recognize there. He didn't say nothing, but he had a few guys. He had a few guys who were close enough that they were kind of in his inner circle, I think. He knew he could trust them, and they went with him. It's good to have some counselors. It's good to have some people we trust in close to us, okay? It's all part of that mentoring process. Discipling, that's what we're made to do. That's how we build this wall, is by discipling. Who are you being discipled by? First question, and who are you discipling? Second question. Everybody needs to be able to answer those two questions. If we can't fill in those blanks with somebody, we need to keep praying and looking and asking, because we need both of those, okay? And then we need to, in close company of these guys, we need to assess the situation and take a good look before we make a decision. Okay, then next part, we develop a plan. We got Nehemiah in 2:18, and I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, listen to what they said. They said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to the good work. Notice, he didn't get out a whip and said, all right, we're going to build. He just told them the deal. He prayed, he fasted, he sought the king, he got clearance, he went, he assessed the situation with a few good men, then he came back with a plan. And everybody said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. That's an important thing, guys. After we've developed that plan, we need to get together on this thing. And then, here's the last part of this plan that makes it so successful. And Brother Harold kind of went over a little bit of this the other night, but when you get to Nehemiah 3, you begin to see him work. And the entire chapter 3 shows how that work is carried out. And as we do this, it's an act of cooperation. And I can tell you, it wasn't just one person that built this church building. It was a cooperation of many. In fact, I love to think about Brother Jimmy Thompson. He was in a place with his health where he had to watch how much he did. But I'll tell you what, that guy had the most organized tool truck I've ever seen in my life. And he took up that part of his work. And I'm telling you, he took it, and he meant what he was doing now. Whenever I showed up here, he come over to me, and he told me, he said, I can't do a whole lot no more. But what I will do is, he said, I try to make sure all the tools are here and ready and in good condition for y'all to get the work done. So if you need anything, you let me know. And I'll tell you what, he had his little Ford pickup with the flatbed on it, and he had all those tools arranged on there, and he took full responsibility to that section of the wall. And by him doing that, it just made all the rest of the work go better. You know, we all had different places on the wall. Just like whenever they're building the wall here in Nehemiah, this is a big job, guys. They were saying it couldn't be done. It would have taken years. Do you know how long it took them to build the wall all the way around Jerusalem because of the way they cooperated? 52 days. Isn't that amazing? 52 days. And I'm telling you now, this wall was not a small thing. It was huge and it was tall. And of course, they had these guys out there that were complaining and jeering at them and telling them it could never happen. They were sent from Satan, and they were trying to discourage them. But today, we're wall builders. Let's build a wall, okay? We're going to kind of demonstrate this. Rather than reading through the Scripture, we're going to live it out. So the first place on the wall is over here, and we're going to have our tribes stand up and take up a place on the wall today. The Boyer family, would you guys like a place on the wall? And take that place right there. And let's get started building. You got to stand right there. All right, Mr. Fody. You want to take your tribe and you can go right over here as well? We got a new tribe here with us, the Paget family. And you guys can take up a place over there. The Thompson family, please. Go ahead, the Claytons. Absolutely. And we've got our sweet ladies group here, the sweet ladies tribe. We got Vicky, Vera, and Miss Bonnie. Givers, can you guys take up a place on the wall too? All right, we got our young ladies. I want them right back here. All right, we need our sound team over here in front of the soundboard. All right. Would you guys like to be part of the task at hand today? We're going to let you guys take up this part. Come on in here, Lee. You're taking up the door. You see, I'm putting some of you guys exactly where you're serving right now. All right? All right. The rest of you guys go stand along the wall over here. You guys are all part of the same tribe. So what are we going to call you? What part of the tribe? The Seminsky. Oh, she's taking up leadership here. It could be the Everhart, but no, it's the Seminsky. Okay. All right. We need Jan and Harvey and your tribe over there by the windows. All right. You guys want part of this? All right. Come on, Ben. Let's be a little more enthusiastic than this. Come on. Let's cheer each other on a little bit. All right. All right. We got the Joan and Sandy and the precious sisters. You guys go ahead and get on over there by your other sister. And we're going to scoot the Ryans down a little bit here. Let's give these ladies. Brother Danny, you want to join in with them? You're not going to join in on this? Oh, you better watch out. You're going to get caught up in this one. All right. We got one of the Boyer ladies. Can you go over and join up with your grandma? All right. Steve, please. Go alongside of the Ryans, and you guys keep each other's back there. All right, Miss Robin, you're going to be right there. Brother Bill, and we've got the Ward, Johnson, Hobson family. You guys come right up here along the front. Okay, you guys kind of getting the idea. Oh, did I forget some people? Hey, you know what? That was all part of the demonstration, wasn't it? Because you know what? They realized they were being left out, and they didn't want that to happen. So, can you guys all come up here to the front, Roger and the Jones clan? All right, you guys take up the front. You want to go with the sweet girls or you want to go with us? You can go either way. All right. Guys, the idea here is, you notice how we have enough to cover every part of the wall when we go like this. Now, guys, if we'd have just chosen one person to try to run around this and try to build this whole wall, how do you think it would work out? But you see, with us all, we have enough to fill every gap. Okay, part of the story was, we got this one place over here, and there's some of the people that in this job were so energetic. You'll see their names mentioned more than once because their tribe was very efficient in the area that they had to build, and they actually went and helped others by the time they were done. So can the Pageant family, you're done with your part over there, can't you? Yeah. I think you got that part totally finished up. You want to come plug up this hole over here? Okay. We're going to let Mr. Fody build up to what you had there. You see, the idea is, guys, we fill in for each other. Okay. We don't just stand there and say, okay, I've done my part. When's the rest of them guys going to get their part done? But no, we take up other places and things to work because we're here until Jesus takes us home. So let's be doing something useful for His service. But, guys, there was this one group called the Tekoites. Okay, how can I demonstrate this? I got to pick somebody with a good humor to pick on. Huh? Junior? Okay. Wow. Junior Ward. It's part of the Tekoites, only he's one of the noblemen. Go ahead, you do your collar like this. And he thinks he's too special to work. And so he refuses to put his shoulder to the work. And it kind of draws a few more. Before you know it, Rob's feeling that way too. And so they're standing. You guys stand with your back to everybody, and you just stand here and watch, okay? So how does that make everybody feel? Don't be too hard on them because I'm just playing with them. Boo. Okay, but you guys are having a change of heart, right? All right, they had a change of heart. They decided they didn't want to be like that. So guys, you see how it feels whenever just a few people feel like that they're too good to work? It makes you feel pretty bad. And that's what was happening there. And I'll just tell you guys, throughout the rest of this book of Nehemiah, the nobles keep coming up and not in a good light. Okay? Because those nobles weren't doing their work, they wound up making deals with the enemy. They were making deals with the guy who represents the devil and helping him to strengthen his way against the people of God. And I'll tell you, even after they got the walls done, okay, the walls are done, let's celebrate. Let's have a celebration. Say, praise the Lord. All right, this part is what it's going to be like in heaven. But our walls aren't totally done until heaven. Okay? That's where we get to celebrate forever. But guys, you can go ahead and have a seat now. You've had a little bit of fun today, and we're not going to be too hard on Rob and Junior. We know they're good guys, and we know that's just a fabrication because they're not like that. But what we do know, guys, is there are a whole lot of people in the church that seem to feel like they're too good to do the work. And this is the statistic, and I think it might even be a little off, but they say 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people, and that shouldn't be true. Okay? Is anybody here too good to do the work of the church? Raise your hand if you think you're too good to do it. You would never feel that way, right? You see, because none of us, we know none of us are too good. When we measure ourselves against Jesus, we know there's none of us too good to do the work, right? There's none as good as Him, and He came down here and bore our shame and bore our sin and went to the cross for us. Wow, is that not humbling? But you see, these noblemen, they wound up making deals with Tobiah. They wound up even part of the family intermarried with Tobiah. After they got the wall done after 52 days, the Nehemiah went back to give report to the king, and whenever he came back, he wound up finding a mess where Tobiah, like the devil, is actually living in the temple because of one of the priests who got in with the nobles, and the priest's family intermarried with them, and he thought he was so important he could just move the devil into the temple. Guys, I can tell you, I know Tobiah wasn't the devil, but he resembles and he represents him in this story. He was one of the naysayers of the people of God. Dare I say that some of these people that think they're too good to do anything in the church are making deals with the enemy and serving him even without knowing it. And so what we need to do is we all need to realize we've got our part on the wall. And if we don't do our part, nobody's asking you to do somebody else's part. But if you get done with your part and you want to go over and help them, it's great. But at least let's do our part. There's the verse I was talking about. Next to them, the Tekoites made repairs, but their nobles did not put their shoulders to the work of their Lord. What do you say about that? How does it make you feel when you read that verse? Boo. It don't make me feel good, right? And I sure don't want to find myself in that area. Okay? I'll tell you a little story that kind of goes along with this, and then we're gonna let everybody have a chance to do business with God. Guys, we got a wall to build. And I'll just be honest with you, other people's lives really depend on it. Their souls depend on it. We may not realize that, but it's true. There was a group that came to the United States before it was the United States. They came from England to make the first English settlement in the United States. Can anybody tell me what the name of that settlement was? Jamestown. I got a history buff. Okay, these guys kind of came from, they were like aristocrats, some of them. They were rich people, okay? They thought they might come over here and find something really nice and easy. Okay, they had no idea, you know. They didn't have the internet back then. You couldn't look up, you know, the coast of the Americas and figure out what it looked like. So they got on a ship and they sailed all the way over here, and it took months for them to get here, and it was a hard trip. And once they got here, they realized it just got harder. When they showed up, man, the mosquitoes where they landed were horrible, and people, you know, getting sick from them. They didn't know, because they landed kind of in warm weather, they didn't know how cold it would get there, so they went ahead and settled, and they started trying to make it. The next thing you know, it gets really cold in Jamestown. In fact, the day I went and visited Jamestown, there was skipped ice on everything, and they'd closed the park. Gives you an idea. Try to survive there with hardly anything to start out with. But one of the biggest problems Jamestown had, and here it was, people wouldn't work. Some of the people that came thought they were so good, they ought to be able to just sit back and let everybody else do it for them, because that was the kind of climate that they came out of. I'm going to tell you something, guys. We all need to work, not just for them, so that they can come to know the gospel. We need to work for our own good as well. Because as we work for the Lord, we grow in the Lord. As we work for the Lord, we're rubbing elbows with those other wall builders. We're meeting together with them as our wall intertwines at those places. We're getting closer to each other too. We're getting a better morale, a better spirit. You want to be built up against your struggle with sin? Best way. Get busy doing the Lord's work with the Lord's people, and you will grow in the Lord. Amen? So what I want you to do is I want you to think about it. Jamestown, for the most part, became a failure because people wouldn't work. Whenever they came back and revisited, they kind of started things back up. They actually made it a law, and they actually started executing people. Who wouldn't work? They would hang people. They would court-martial them and hang them if they had an official position, but yet would not work. Obviously, we don't do that in the church. This is not a compulsion thing, amen? We want you to do it so that you get closer to God and closer to your brothers and sisters, and we can help strengthen one another and build the walls, because our building's not done yet. So we experienced the celebration of having our job done today. That's the way it's going to be in heaven someday. But until heaven, let's remember, we still all have work to do. So just like you took up your little place around the wall and you didn't feel too good to do it, let's do it the same way in our lives every day. I want you to ask something. Now, the end of the revival, God really gave me a vision of one of the areas of the wall we need to build, and it's with our school, okay? We're planted in a community, and we have a little school here called Kingston, right? K-14. Great school, good things happening, but for the most part, there's an awful lot of people in there who still need to hear about the Lord, amen? They need the love of Christ. Got a great prayer room that meets there on Thursday. I don't know that all of our church can fit in that prayer room all at one time, so it may be something that if people want to experience that, let us know, and we can maybe have a little rotation of people that go. You know, I know in ours we'll have as many as 5 adults that'll come sometimes at different times. So, you know, they'll accept a certain amount of adults as we go in and pray. Remember that prayer meeting. Here's the number one thing I need somebody to take up their part of the wall with on this. When we go in on Thursday, whether or not you're able to come or not, we'll talk about that. But what I'd like to see us start doing is when we show up on Thursday, I would like to bring a gift of some sort for the teacher's lounge. You think that'd be a good idea? Bless the teachers. We come in, we bless the teachers. We go into 2 schools. I mean, donuts are great, aren't they? But some people are on diets. So we may need to change that blessing back and forth a little bit, okay? So like I'm thinking some fresh fruit or a nice snack or some of the wonderful snacks that we have down here in the mornings, like our banana muffins and things like that. Whatever you want to offer to that. Sister Shirley goes up to the primary along with Sister Joan. We've got some others that come in and out too, but I know that they're regulars, okay? So contact them if you'd like to send a gift with them this Thursday, okay? I go to the high school. Please let me know, because you guys actually have more contact with people as you go in through the office. Now myself, they let me go in and right down to the room, but I think I can get a gift into the right hand so it makes it to the teacher's lounge. And I'm just going to put a note on that gift from those, love from those in the prayer room. Because they're already seeing the prayer room's a blessing, but I want it to be a personal blessing. And a little bit later on, what I'd love to see us do is bless some of the kids after one of the basketball games or something like that as a group, not just a church. But even if we can team up with the FCA group that's already started there or something like that to say, hey, Jesus loves you guys. Come, we just want to share a blessing with you. Take some snacks and a celebration to them or something like that after a home game. We'll try to figure that out as we go, but I think our first step is to get a gift into their hands on a regular basis. So if you want to provide a gift, let us know before you leave here today. And if we get more than enough, then we'll spread it out and tell you when you can maybe do it another Thursday or something like that. But I'd like to see us do this. I think this is the first part of that wall. I want to win that school to Christ. I think we can do it. We don't do it by force. We do it by love. I praise God that they're receptive to us, and I think they'll be more receptive as we go through. So what part of the wall does God want you to take up? Between you and God. But as soon as you find out, I want you to be accountable on it. Okay? I would suggest this altar is open to anybody that wants to pray about it and ask God. And once you figure that out, you talk to me and let's be accountable on it and let's start working together. Amen? My part is not to try to force you guys into positions where you can do my work, okay? That's not what this is. And a lot of people get that idea. I remember one time, a loved one of mine, I'm not going to say who it was, but a loved one of mine came and told me the preacher cried before the congregation today. He's just tired and he wants us to do his work. No. I can tell you what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to prepare people that can, I tell you, no matter what comes our way, even persecution, that you will persevere and you will continue to build that wall. You know why China didn't fold? The church in China didn't fold whenever communism and persecution came in? Because they weren't looking to the building and the pastor to run things. They were being taught all along how to perpetuate the church by witnessing and building it themselves. And they can't stamp that out. Satan can't stamp that out. So, first part of that wall is you got to get right with Christ. It's putting on the belt of truth, that first part of the armor. So let's just give our lives to Christ. We got a song that we're going to take up here. You guys got an invitation planned for us today? I knew you wouldn't let us down. Here's one of our parts of the wall right here. And they're going to lead us in a hymn of invitation today. But before we do, I'd like to pray over you. Dear Father, I just pray that we would build all of this wall starting on that cornerstone of Jesus. Many of us have already started it in our own lives, but I pray that we can get organized and bring it together in this church so that we can build the wall of the holy priesthood in this area. I believe there's still more stones that you want to add to that wall. And Lord, we need to take the gospel out everywhere we go to find out who are those stones who will receive you and who will be implanted into that wall so that they too can continue to build the wall even above them. And so, Lord, please show me, show us, each one of us individually, what part of that wall we should take up. And so, Lord, you've given us a vision in reaching our school, bringing the love of Jesus all throughout those halls. Lord, we can see one step that we can take today. We're not going to try to plan the whole thing. We're going to see what doors you open. So help us, Lord, to be in tune with your Spirit. Lord, with all these other beautiful people that are yours, that are in this room today, please show each one what part they should take up. And for any here that might be standing here scratching their head thinking, well, I'm not even to the place with being in a relationship with Jesus yet, but I want to be. If you want to be in a relationship with Jesus, come forward today and give your heart to Jesus. Just simply say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I believe you died for my sin and rose on the third day, and I want to surrender my life to you today. And so, Lord, help us to make that step today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, the altar's open as we sing this final song.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Let us do His good will. He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
I pray that you're happy in Jesus, and the only way that we can be there is truly to trust and obey. Amen? Just obey Him. Just do what He says. It's pretty simple, and don't try to figure it all out ahead of time. You know, well, if I say yes, then that's okay. Or demand God. Now, you show me the whole story, and then I'll say yes. No, that isn't how it works. He goes, here's the one piece that I'm requiring of you to do today. And if you say no, then tomorrow He'll say, okay, so how are we doing with that one piece? And then a month from now, so how are we doing with that one piece? And then a year from now, you've done forgotten about it, but guess what? God's still right there. So if you feel like you have departed from God at some point, go back to the last time that you really had an experience with Him, because that's where He's still at. And He didn't leave you. Don't get that. Don't get me wrong. You see, His presence is still probably protecting you and everything. He may be disciplining you, but one thing I know for sure is He didn't move from what He originally said. He's still going to be right there. It was you that walked away from Him. Okay, so whatever it is, let's just ask Him for strength. Because guess what? He don't say, okay, now you do this and you'll be required to come up with all the strength and all. No, He goes, hey, come to me. All you who are heavy, weary and heavy laden, and you'll find rest. Right? Here's the yoke. Get in it. It's awesome. God's an awesome God. Amen? Do you guys have a birthday today? Anybody got a birthday?
Birthday.
Don't try to hide it. JD has a way of finding out.